We will go to testimony, and there's about 80. 3 minutes each, that's a lot. So please, I'm going to beg you. Don't repeat what other people have said. Really listen to what they have to say. Be very respectful. If people in the audience are not respectful and do not believe in the freedom of speech and yell out, you will be escorted out. I like difference of opinion. I think it's very healthy. That's very healthy in this chamber as well. But we do that by respecting one another, and I will insist on that.
We're going to start with 5 and 5.
I will start with 5 in favor, and then we'll rotate. So the 5 in favor, Diane Lemus, please go to the mic, as well as Jack Markowski, Larry Huggins, Armando Checon, and Charisse Williams. You come to the mic, identify yourself.
I'm Larry Huggins. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are going to be minority contractors, general contractors, people from labor, consultants. Everybody that's going to come up here tonight is going to talk about the relationship they have with Sterling Bay. And they are very good relationships. I can honestly tell you that what they're going to say is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But the reason I support this project, not only because of that, but Sterling Bay has truly made a commitment to make sure that there's the growth and development of minority contractors. And that is something that is so desperately needed in the city of Chicago. One of the things that I said is that if Chicago continues to be a world-class city, there is no way that we cannot vote for this project. And I want to commend Alderman Brian Hopkins for being a visionary, because based upon his actions today, it is truly the right thing to do for this city. Not only is it good for his ward, but it's truly great for the entire city of Chicago.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Diane Lemus, and I'm a longtime volunteer leader for Communities United, a grassroots community organization located on the northwest side of Chicago. I'm testifying here today to express our support for the updated affordable housing commitments at Lincoln Yards. As leaders of Communities United, we see the constant displacement of families because they can no longer afford to live in the neighborhoods that they love. The city is in an affordable housing crisis, and every day we are losing longtime Chicago residents. Because of this, we cannot look away from an opportunity to put a critical $39 million investment made through the in-lieu fee payments to the Affordable Housing Opportunity Fund. Half of the $39 million will go to low-income housing trust fund, which provides rental subsidies for very low-income households. And the other half will go into the Affordable Housing Opportunity Fund, which will allow critical funding for affordable housing projects like the Opportunity Investment Fund and the Preservation of Affordable Rentals, or PAIR, that preserves affordability in gentrifying neighborhoods and many other programs. Specifically, the $35 million AHOF contribution would enable the city to leverage the construction of or preservation of additional 900-plus units, provide rental subsidy for an additional 109 very low-income households for 10 years. The Lincoln Yards project represents an opportunity to take steps toward greater equity, not just for Lincoln Park community, where 600 of the units will be located on site, but for surrounding areas that are facing even greater pressures of displacement, and for communities across the city that will benefit from the trust fund subsidies and the preservation and creation of new units. This project will be one of the largest affordable housing projects in the country and will allow existing residents to stay in their communities by providing significant financial resources for affordable housing. Chicago needs to be at the crossroads of rethinking how are we going to make the deep and equitable investments in affordable housing over the next 5 or 10 years to truly stabilize communities and keep low-income and working-class families in the city. And this is the first step to achieving that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Barkowski. I'm a senior vice president at FH Passion and the chairman of the board for the Illinois Road and Transportation Builders Association. The IRTBA was established in 1938 and currently has 350 member firms that design, build, maintain the state highways, transit systems, railways, and aviation systems, including both the public and private sectors. The mission of the IRTBA is to advance and promote the transportation design and construction industry in Illinois. On behalf of the IRTBA, I am here to speak in support of the Lincoln Yards proposal. Many speakers today have addressed the significant economic benefits that this project will bring to the community and to the city as a whole. 10,000 construction jobs and new opportunities for Chicago trade industry. The construction industry is retiring workers at a quicker pace than the ones coming in. This leaves a major opportunity for minorities and women that are currently not in the workforce. Let's face it, the existing roads and bridges in Chicago are in need of strong, sustainable funding source just to maintain what we have. The recent Lakeshore Dry Bridge incident should be a wake-up call for the city and should demonstrate how much the citizens and businesses in Chicago rely on transportation and transit systems each and every day. Both the Division Street and Chicago Avenue bridges just to the south of Lincoln Yards have recently been replaced with temporary structures that last only a short period of time. The city did not have the funding to replace in kind. The state is broke. The federal government is not coming to the rescue on that. Lincoln Yards is a once-in-a-lifetime project. Developers plan to build new bridges, metro station. They're going to help solve the congestion issues at the Ashland-Armitage-Elston interchange. The majority of the land currently sits vacant, collecting zero taxes. The Sterling Bay investment will reap billions of dollars annually for the city. The city needs to demonstrate that it is open for business, that they plan to embrace economic growth and promote a strong quality of life for the people. Make no small plans, make this happen, invest in Chicago. And one last thing, you can't wait. The property at the 78, which is on the south side, that's been sitting vacant for 40 years. No investment, no tax revenue. Make this happen now.
Thank you. Next person.
Good afternoon. My name is Armando Chacon. I am a lifelong Chicagoan and longtime West Loop resident and business owner. I am the president of the West Central Association and the Mary Bartlemy Park Advisory Council. I also sit on the board of the Chicago Children's Theater and serve 3 terms on the Skinner West Local School Council. Most importantly, I'm a husband and father of 4. I spoke in this very spot a few weeks in support of this project, which I did with some trepidation given the contentious nature of the ongoing debate of it. The issues have been well documented, and I have continued to evaluate this until this very moment. Some of the main issues for me have been the amount of green space, TIF, and affordable housing. The green space continues to be adequate, in my opinion, and during these challenging financial times that our city is facing, I like the idea of not having the maintenance of the park be on a taxpayer's dime. Park district budgets are already inadequate to fund capital improvements and operations, so I am comfortable with the developer being tasked with the maintenance of the park. As for the TIF, I'm even more comfortable than I was a few weeks ago. The structure of this TIF is a great example of a private-public partnership that revitalizes and activates this section of the city while providing funding for much-needed infrastructure improvements that are sorely needed, and all while the developer bears all the risk. Sterling Bay has now increased the amount of affordable housing, which shows Sterling Bay's willingness to work with all stakeholders to create a fair and equitable community in the city of Chicago. All this being said, this process lends itself to other adjustment that I trust the local residents, Alderman Hopkins, the Department of Planning and Development, and Sterling Bay will work on together to make Lincoln Yards a thriving and help spur economic development and opportunities for the residents of the city of Chicago. I've heard the cries for delay, but I agree we cannot afford to delay. I have yet to hear a substantive argument or reason not to move forward. As someone without an interest in this project, or that is not a Lincoln Park resident, some might question, why the hell am I here at all? I'm here because I love Chicago, and we need all the help we can get. Many of us will have a painfully higher tax bill in a few months. Our city also will have some big bills to pay, and I, for one, support policies that improve our financial condition while minimizing the burden on our residents and small business owners. To the men and women of the Zoning Committee and the City Council, Chicago needs you today, and I urge you to vote yes.
Thank you. Next person, Sharice. And let's keep testimony only to zoning. This is not a TIF. That is in finance. You can come again and discuss that as well, but only zoning today.
Good afternoon. My name is Sharice Williams, and on behalf of the Chicago Federation of Labor, I'm here to encourage the committee to support the Lincoln Yards development, which will create thousands of construction jobs, as has been said repeatedly, during this development, and over 24,000 permanent jobs, including but not limited to union service jobs that range from industries in technology, law, clerical, finance, support staff, and more. As a result of the Lincoln Yards plan, Sterling Bay has been a thought partner and supporter of increasing workforce development within Chicago. They are partnering with the Chicago Federation of Labor and various community groups to increase union participation in numerous pre-apprenticeship programs, apprenticeship programs, and re-engaging non-working journeymen with a recruitment focus in underserved neighborhoods. Both commercial and residential development is rising exponentially throughout Chicago, putting many of our brothers and sisters in the building trades industry back to work. As you may know, construction jobs typically carry a 5 to 7 multiplier, meaning for every one construction job that is created, 5 to 7 new jobs are created throughout the rest of the workforce. In addition, the increased number of affordable housing units will provide working families with more housing options throughout the city. This committee has an opportunity to make a real impact on the lives of workers throughout Chicago, and I strongly encourage you to support this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
And under 3 minutes.
I'll call five who are opposed. Kate McCarter.
Buena?
Layla Buchina at 3056 North Oakley. Melissa Stanley. Hugh Nguyen, Elizabeth Rodriguez.
Hello, my name is Kate McCarter. I live in the second ward in which Lincoln Yards will, in the near term, begin construction. The feedback that people share with you today has, unfortunately, been mischaracterized as coming from a, quote, opposition. But it's not a matter of pro or con. The people here seek dialogue. Alderman Kaplman has said that he seeks to ensure that the community has had a chance to meet about this project. In this regard, I wanted to briefly clarify the extent of public community engagement as misinformation has been circulated. In brief, there have been only 2 public meetings with Sterling Bay about the Lincoln Yards project. Not 60, not 30, but 2. Committee members, I will point you to the written testimony I have submitted, which provides more details with about the 2 dates and an explanation of the conflation between public and private meetings, which has confused the extent to which the process has been community driven. Thank you for looking at the testimony, if you would. Building a $15 million, or as revised to last evening, 14.5 million square feet planned development of skyscrapers and high-rises, far outside of even the city's downtown expansion zone, calls for a holistic planning process. It calls for acknowledgement of the precedent that high-density zoning will create for the neighboring tracts in the north sub-area of the North Branch Corridor, and the impact it will have on surrounding neighborhoods and the city as a whole. Developments and neighborhoods do not exist in isolation. Friends of the North Branch Park and Nature Preserve is a coalition of Chicago-wide groups advocating for a public park on the North Branch of the Chicago River. They propose a park to the east of the forthcoming Lincoln Yards development, which will serve what will be an explosive population growth in the area. It would also open the river to perpetual public river access for all Chicagoans. The group realized the impact of the paradigm shift in the planning of this area during the writing of the North Branch Framework Plan. Advocates recognize the need and opportunity to create a mid-sized park, opening access to the precious resource of the river, which Mayor Emanuel himself has called Chicago's second waterfront. But there's a long way to go to make this vision become a reality. The forthcoming Lincoln Yards project will have a significant impact on Chicago for generations to come. I urge you that we owe it to ourselves and to future generations of Chicagoans to secure dispensation for adequate public parkland prior to giving the green light. Then, once you give thought to everything, give the go-ahead. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Next person. You do not have to take the entire 3 minutes either.
Yeah, you say that when the preacher comes. So my name is Lila Bukema, and I'm pastor at Lakeview Lutheran Church on Chicago's north side. I've spent about 37 of my years of service as a pastor in relationship with people who are homeless or housing insecure, and I know from their stories and struggles the value and desperate need for housing that is safe, affordable, and accessible. But in all this time, I've also witnessed and seen how people and developers and politicians make promises and concessions in the moment that they either have no intention to keep or who find in the unfolding of the bottom line, argue that the building or providing of this kind of community support is no longer feasible or profitable. As a result, Lathrop Homes, which we lifted up today, gave up 525 low-income housing units in a mixed development, blah, blah, blah. But I've also lived in the gentrification of a community that's forced almost all of its neighbors out of their generationally owned homes due to rising property taxes and stagnant wages. So I'm not here to question anyone's intention today. Oh, wait, it's Lent. I cannot lie. I will only join the chorus of those who are pleading that this vote be delayed until the new administration is in place to thoroughly vet the project to ensure the promises made are promises that address the most and the host of concerns. Because it isn't really just about affordable housing, density, out-of-scale development, schools, jobs, jobs with mystery wages and workforce diversity, parks and public spaces that won't get a black or brown teen shot, transportation and infrastructure, and how all this impacts zoning for this and surrounding areas. It is about an investment of $1.3 billion public dollars in a project that has presented less transparent details and documentation than my recent mortgage refinance. A project that will impact the whole city and not just the small segment of this ward. A project that's wheelings and dealings now forced two of the city's more neglected communities to house garbage trucks and a police military academy against their will and much best served interest. This is not righteous city planning. This is old school city business and the kind of business that voters voted loudly against this past season. I wonder, too, how a plan this size with the kinds of zoning and tax changes that the city will have to endure would stand up to a racial equity impact assessment. Or are we comfortable solidifying the Great White Wall to the north side? Yesterday's Crane op-ed questioned how this delay will look to those outside the city wondering if Chicago is a good place to relocate and bring their business and best ideas. It will look like we are working hard to lose our recently earned label as the most corrupt city in Chicago, in America. It will look like a city that takes integrity, the well-being, and the value of
Thank
all
you.
Of its citizens seriously.
Thank you so much. Next person.
Hello. Hi, my name is Hu Nguyen. I'm a CPS parent, also an LSC elected member. I'm also a board member with Raise Your Hand Action. It's an organization that advocates for education policies that protect and support high quality and well-resourced public education. And we have in fact been tracking cuts to CPS budgets to the tune of $500 million in the last 5 years. So the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability has calculated that CPS schools are $2 billion below what they need to be adequately funded. Coincidentally, since 2010, more than $10 billion has been diverted from CPS into TIF districts, with a really small proportion of that coming back in the form of TIF surpluses. Now, I understand the Finance Committee approves the use of TIF dollars associated with this project, and it's the Zoning Committee and all of you who are going to approve the land use issues of the development. So what I don't understand is how can you approve a development plan that does not take into consideration the currently overcrowded conditions of our CPS schools in and near that area? That to me seems like very much a land use issue. Also, how can you approve a revised plan, right, that has been just revealed on Tuesday? So especially a plan that would concentrate a new zone of downtown affluent scale in the midst of neighborhoods in an already overwhelmingly affluent, wealthy, and white neighborhood. So how will neighborhoods that truly need development get projects approved when so much of the money and the energy and the focus is going into this mega development? Again, in an affluent area. So why should all taxpayers have to shoulder the burden for this elite complex, you know, where there's not going to be room left to build in our communities that have been disinvested in? So despite hearing the number of black and brown business owners and contractors today, and also in the Plan Commission and the Community Development Commission, I was here and listening to that, and I love seeing all the black and brown leaders here, I must admit. However, this proposal, it's far from equitable. And to Alderman Moore's point, right, how is it that one month you have a picture of all these people that represent your firm, and then all of a sudden it's changed overnight? So this is just really shameful, okay? The nepotism in Chicago politics is really nauseating, and someone earlier talked about how there are a lot of compromises in the project. Definitely, the number one compromise was the compromise of the integrity of this project. So I'm just gonna take the last 10 minutes of my time and sort of purify, okay? We're gonna purify this place because there's so much corruption, and so in the process of purification, I hope some of you who have the teeniest bit of conscientiousness that has been suppressed.
Thank you so much.
It will.
Thank you. I do want to address one of your concerns. As a former public school teacher, education is very important, and I understand that CPS needs a lot more money. So I want some clarification. Commissioner Reifman, could you talk about CPS budget and how that relates to this particular TIF?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misrepresentation of how TIF works, and I think it's important to reestablish the facts about TIF. The issue with CPS budgets is very simple. CPS budgets are capped by statute. They can only increase their levy by the lesser of the CPI, Consumer Price Index, or 5%. So they currently levy to the maximum amount they are permitted to levy by law. If no matter what the TIF is, CPS does not get a dollar more or less as a result of the creation of TIF. But TIFs have helped schools and CPS in a couple very specific ways. First, with direct spending from TIFs on capital improvements like school buildings. Secondly, we have a policy and an executive order which requires the surplusing of TIF dollars in any TIF district, uncommitted funds of any TIF district in excess of $1 million, 25%, which goes directly to CPS outside of the cap. Buildings built outside of the cap, surplus funds outside of the cap, and finally, when TIFs burn off, that goes into the EAV, the Equalized Assessed Valuation, which allows the schools to get a one-time bump. So in many ways, TIF helps the schools. Even if you were to dissolve the TIFs, the effect would be to reduce the amount of the general state aid formula for schools, so TIF itself would have a minor impact on the overall school budget. Those are the facts about TIF. If I can answer more questions, Chairman.
So my next question then then is the CPS budget. Is that set by the state with issuing a levy, or is that by city council?
Neither. That's set by the Chicago Public Schools. They
Thank
levy
you.
To their maximum amount by their board, and they are limited by statute on how much they can levy.
And then the state of Illinois issues that levy.
The CPS issues
CPS
the levy.
Issues
the
levy.
State of Illinois has the general state aid formula, which is a formula for how much additional dollars Chicago students get.
Okay. Thank you. Next witness.
And thank you for carefully considering my testimony. My name is Elizabeth Rodriguez, and I'm a resident of the 46th Ward. I'm an educator at Northeastern Illinois University. I'm a PhD candidate at Northwestern University, and I volunteer with Raise Your Hand Action. I emphatically oppose the approval of the Lincoln Yards project and urge the Committee on Zoning to vote no. The issue of the Lincoln Yards development is simple. It's about the haves and the have-nots. It's about the 1% and the 99%. It's about rubber-stamped deals, like's going on here, against meaningful community participation. It's about false promises of affordability against the need for economic justice. It's about racist, classist, segregationist development subsidies against radical, transformative investments in underserved communities. It's about outside developers against our students, our teachers, our neighbors, social workers, librarians, nurses, principals, and all of the other workers and residents of Chicago who could really use about $1 billion to fund our schools and educate our children. The Lincoln Yards development, in short, is about business as usual against the needs of regular Chicagoans. As an educator at Northeastern Illinois University, where Chicago Public School graduates make up a large portion of our student body, I teach CPS graduates who didn't have a college counselor in high school to prepare them for the next phase of their education, who enroll at NEIU and still have to take a year's worth of non-credit courses just to catch up, just to become college ready, who drop out of college because they're homeless. I have had homeless students. They won't be living in Lincoln Yards, and they won't be able to afford these so-called affordable units. But no one's setting up a TIF to develop their big dreams for a better life. We must not divert desperately needed tax funds to line the pockets of wealthy developers. Any decisions about the Lincoln Yards project, which will affect the city for decades to come, need to be delayed until the new mayor and new city council members who would oversee this project are installed in their democratically elected positions. And when those new leaders are installed, perhaps including in the 46th Ward, I will urge them to recognize the ethical imperative to listen to their constituents and to stop the Lincoln Yards development. Thank you.
Thank you. Five more these are in favor, and please feel free to, you can even talk a minute if you'd like. Patty Moko, Beth Doria, Shona Odea, and Adam Cole, and Michael Thomas. Point of information, yes, Alderman Riley.
Thank you, Chairman. As a point of information, I just was reading through the City Council rules, and I wanted to clarify a point. I missed some debate at the very beginning of this meeting about your authority as the chairman, and I just want to make sure we had this on the record so everyone's
clear. Authority
is
the vice chair, yes.
In the event, according to Rule 36, in the event of the absence of the chairman from the city or from a meeting of the committee or of the council, the vice chairman shall perform the duties and exercise the authority of chairman. Vouchers and payroll may be signed only by the chairman of the committee or in his absence by the vice chairman, blah, blah, blah. In the event of a vacancy in the chairmanship of a committee caused by death, resignation, or otherwise, the vice chairman shall act as chairman of the committee until such time as the council shall fill such vacancy in the chairmanship on the recommendation of the committee on committees, rules, and ethics. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone here understands that you are rightfully sitting in that chair today and have all authority to be convening this meeting. Just wanted to make that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone want to be chair? Okay, next person.
Hi, my name is Patty Mako, and I'm a current resident of East Garfield Park and a former resident of West Loop, where I volunteered to help form the West Loop and worked with developers. I support the Lincoln Yards development because I support Sterling Bay Company. to make a huge project like this to be a huge success by the time they are done. I found they responded to the requests we made of them with professionalism, kindness, and patience, and I can test anyone's patience. From the concept through the completions of their projects, and there were many that we were part of, Sterling Bay consistently cared about the community input and applied it to what they were doing with this project. They are the company that gives back to the community, not to mention, in my opinion, they brought the West Loop to new heights and standards. Now everyone wants to live, work, and dine, and continue to develop the West Loop. I truly feel the Lincoln Yards projects, with its contaminated soil and disgusting riverfront, that they can change it into something beautiful with facilities and housing that will benefit all. Sterling Bay is a very competent, reliable, and can-do developer. When their name goes on something, that project is going to be even better than their last. Again, you can look at the West Loop from Google to McDonald's and everything in between. I felt I should hear, you should hear from an everyday person who has dealt with and watched with pride and, yes, some skepticism as the neighborhood changed and grew with the vision and help of Sterling Bay residents and aldermen to help bring it all together for the businesses to prosper and residents to live and work in. I can only imagine how much better the area will be to visit as it has only been an eyesore and a traffic block for as long as I can remember. After years of neglect, their expertise will repair all the damage that the former landowners left for the next owners to fix. My feeling is by rights that they should fix those damages. Sterling Bay will make it viable for many, many, many more years to come. I hope the City Council can help residents in the area to work through their concerns and let Sterling Bay do what they do best, which is develop. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person.
Good afternoon. My name is Beth Doria. I serve as Executive Director of the Federation of Women Contractors, 30-year-old organization comprised of over 125 women who own and run construction companies throughout the Chicagoland area, many of whom are certified to do work in the city as certified MWDBE contractors. The Lincoln Yards project is an important one to all of us in the construction industry. It will provide tremendous opportunities for contractors, particularly those that are women and minority-owned, securing work for over 10,000 workers. Additionally, it will place a focus on the need for an additional trained, skilled labor workforce, expanding opportunities for more women and minorities to enter apprenticeship programs. Sterling Bay has engaged the MWBE assist agencies to ensure maximum participation by minorities and women contractors on this project and are committed to working with us throughout its entirety. But first and foremost, we are Chicagoans and care deeply about our city's growth and viability. This project will make use of land that is underutilized and underdeveloped due to its infrastructure barriers and industry history. By making sorely needed land and infrastructure improvements, Lincoln Yards will revitalize the area by creating an exciting mixed-use neighborhood with extended open spaces, parks, housing, sporting facilities, restaurants, and other businesses, and connected to the surrounding neighborhoods with new bridges, walkways, safer roadways, and transportation hubs. It is a bold plan that has been years in the making and has been responsive to the voices of the affected communities, businesses, and its leaders. The time for action is now so that Chicagoans can reap the economic benefits of this well-planned development. Let's continue to move in the direction of progress by approving this proposal and securing Chicago's future. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person.
Hello, my name is Shona Odie. I'm a mechanical engineer with DLR Group, which is an architecture and engineering firm. I'm here in support of Lincoln Yards as a resident of Bucktown, as someone who bikes the 606 every day and gets off the 606 and goes across the dangerous highway and gets back on Clybourne. So it's not just because of my position in my firm that I'm here. It's because I struggle with the current infrastructure in that area. And when I think of who better to develop that area, I think of Sterling Bay because of my experience with them. I lead the high-performance design practice at DLR Group, and I work with Sterling Bay and lots of other developers frequently. And pushing high-performance design with developers that focus only on the financial aspect of development can be very difficult. But Sterling Bay isn't that kind of developer. I've pushed types of mechanical systems that are really, they really only make sense to impact the health and wellness of people, and they're the kinds of mechanical systems that Sterling Bay pick. And one example I just wanted to share when it comes to the whole built environment that they focused on was when they were trying to select a glass type for a building in downtown Chicago. Typically, developers pick the cheapest glass type. Sterling Bay had us build up a two-block city radius to understand how the reflectivity of the glass would impact all of downtown Chicago. That's not a developer who comes in and bulldozes an environment and damages it. It's one that really is focusing on the holistic impact of buildings, and that's why I'm a supporter of Lincoln Yards. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Adam Cole. I'm the Assistant Regional Commissioner of AYSO Region 418 Chicago Lakefront. We're a volunteer-run not-for-profit serving about 2,500 families, providing low-cost, open-to-everyone soccer programming for youth ages 3 to 19, including recreational travel and special needs players. I testify on behalf of Region 418 as an advocate for soccer and the expansion of public facilities to support our mission. We're strong partners with the Chicago Park District and entirely dependent on its facilities for our programming, including the all-important daily practice where youth are mentored, learn to bond, cooperate, and play with their peers, and develop lifelong skills of good sportsmanship. In light of good sportsmanship, AYSO Region 418 is here to support the Lincoln Yard South proposal. We have been a participant in the community discussion since mid-2018 and have during this time expressed our appreciation and some concerns regarding the proposed plan for an operation of recreational space within Lincoln Yards and also the public process that brought us here today. We've sought to resolve our questions in both public and private forums. As late as today, we're still learning more about intended operations and so forth. Ultimately, we rely on the city and Sterling Bay's promises that a six-acre park will be delivered on the riverfront and will include some soccer fields and be publicly accessible and act and feel like a park. That commercial and residential occupants will fund ongoing perpetual operations or maintenance and capital reinvestment in that park. That an elected advisory council will manage the Lincoln Yards open space in a manner consistent with nearby parks and make sure that it's affordable for our users. For its users. We're told that public access and youth focus and accessibility will remain a priority, and that rezoning will restrict the park areas from ever being developed with commercial or residential buildings, ensuring that it remains available in perpetuity as a backbone or critical thread to the development of this new community. We also hope that there'll be oversight on the advisory council, that there will be affordable short-term and mid-term parking to support the park use, and that AYSO and other community members will continue to be involved as the park management agreement is crafted and executed. On these promises, we rely. As a coalition member of the North Branch Park Preserve, AYSO Region 418 asks that the city recognize the importance of contiguous, large-scale open space to a community's success and livability, and mandate that contiguous, large-scale parks be included with future approvals for development within the Cortland Branch TIF and the North Branch Framework area. AYSO fiercely supports development of the proposed park as it would expand the availability of recreational and natural open spaces to all Chicago residents. Such a grand park would be a crown jewel to the city's park system and truly worthy of the designation as Chicago's second coast. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person.
My message is simple, people first. Some here in this chamber
Please identify yourself.
I'm getting ready to. Thank you. Some here may or may not know me. My name is Michael T. Thomas, host of the globally syndicated media program, The Greenpreneur Show. 600 affordable community units, hats off to the Lincoln Yards Project team for doubling down on affordable housing here in the city of Chicago. The solution is simple. 50 wards means 12 vacant lots per ward, 1 to 4 units new construction per ward. Some may say or be asking why. Because a 3-mile radius per the current rules creates a density issue for the current ward and limits the prosperity to flow over to the other parts of the city. Who remembers Cabrini Green? It was 586 units. We must be practical, and I ask and be willing to give on both sides so that the whole city can be winners by voting yes today for the Lincoln Yards project. Unfortunately, affordable housing has a negative stigma, yet many who sit in this very chamber are nothing but a few years, if not a generation or one paycheck, living in the same conditions of those whose voices are not at the table when deals of this magnitude are structured. The answer is simple: home ownership, affordability. I believe the Lincoln Yards team is prepared to deliver their said promise of 600 affordable community units. If we can get a few good men to the moon, I am sure we can come together and agree this is not rocket science. It's social science based on trust. Yet trust is earned, never freely given. So the answer is simple: put it in writing. Construction timetables, no waivers. Let me say it again, no waivers. Establish a community benefits agreement with participating aldermen. 50 wards, 12 vacant lots. It's not a lot, but it can be an act as a catalyst for more development in your respective community, aldermen. We must have the faith, but not blind faith. We must remain diligent for families who are working 2 to 3 jobs just to keep from being homeless. Let me make it. Let's make the city of Chicago affordable for working families. So we say yes to the Lincoln Yards project for doubling down on an affordable housing crisis and doing the right thing. Let Lincoln Yards project be a guide for how developers, city officials, and communities can work together and build something amazing. We will rebuild this city, but together. My message is simple: people first. Thank you.
Thank you. I will call 5 more people up who are opposed. Amy Abramson, Deborah Awald, Helen Satsos at 4665 West Peterson, Don Darling, and Mark Kaplan.
My name is Amy Abramson. I live in the second ward, steps away from the proposed Lincoln Yards development. I'm a member of Friends of the North Branch Park and Nature Preserve. I testify here today because I have too many unanswered questions about the public benefit of Lincoln Yards. I therefore ask members of the Zoning Committee to vote no. In terms of meaningful public benefit, what we have seen so far in the Lincoln Yards proposal is the bare minimum. The bare minimum is no longer acceptable. What we have seen so far is private interest outweighing public benefit. Business as usual is no longer acceptable. Sun-filled renderings of so-called gathering spaces are no longer acceptable. Privately owned public spaces as a substitute for real public parks is no longer acceptable. And I could go on. I ask, can't we do better than this? Can't we do better for future generations of Chicagoans? I believe that we can. I believe that we must. I want to be clear that I am not opposed to development or the developers. What I'm for is balanced and responsible development. Others here will speak about housing, jobs, local business, schools, and transit. I will speak about public green space, space that is actually green and actually public. The 21 acres in the Lincoln Yards proposal misleads the public. It's 11 acres of privately owned park spaces, only 6 acres for active use, half an Oz park for a projected daytime population of 50,000. For this density level, a conservative estimate for what we need is 30 acres of green space. Friends of the North Branch Park has long advocated for an additional 24 acres of public green space. We're specifically asking for an in-writing line item within the ordinance for land acquisition for the North Branch Park. And this would likely be General Iron, which is the last parcel left. Land acquisition is already a part of the bridges and the mystery that is the transit way. Why not for a public park? I urge the public and zoning committee to look at our detailed plan at www.northbranchparkpreserve.org. Thank you.
Thank you. Next person.
Good afternoon. Thank you for listening to my comments. My name is Don Darling, and I represent, I'm involved in a loose coalition of a lot of citizens' organizations. I'm particularly interested in truly affordable housing, not the moderate housing that's part of the Lincoln Yards proposal. I think that if it goes forward as proposed, that the citizens of Chicago will regret the development because it's setting up a exclusivity in another part of Chicago that really needs to be much more integrated in terms of economics. Everyone that's spoken today for the proposal and the last previous two meetings has talked about the jobs to be offered, and I don't discount those at all. I'm not against some development in Lincoln Yards. I'm not against Sterling Bay at all. I applaud them for the amount of MBE and WBE involvement that they have, but no one seems to mention the citizens that would benefit from this if they were given some opportunity to live there. No one's mentioned the very low income persons being able to reside in this development. The developer has not said a word at any of the meetings that I've been at about reaching out for persons of low income and persons of color to live in this development. Given the geographic location of it, it looks like it will be up to a 600-foot wall of white rich people. Maybe a few persons of moderate income, but no one else. So I believe that you should delay the vote, or if you have to take a vote, then turn it down today. And I think that the city has a greater responsibility to try and negotiate some deep subsidy units as part of a $6 billion development. Thank you.
Then I'll list five people in favor. Katie White, Montel Gales, James Williams, Thomas McElroy, and Manon Abdul.
Good afternoon. My name is Katie White. I'm a project manager with Bourbon Tile and Marble. We are a proud women business enterprise, a union tile and stone contractor working in the Chicagoland area for the past 28 years. Most of our work occurs within the confines of Chicago, and almost all of our employees were born and raised here. As lifelong Chicagoland residents, we are proud of our beautiful city, the diversity of our many neighborhoods, as well as the willingness of our city leaders to continuously explore new concepts and ideas that will benefit the city as a whole. It is this forward thinking in terms of restructuring and revitalizing once stagnant areas that sets Chicago apart and elevates us to a world-class city. This Lincoln Yards development will not only create thousands of new employment opportunities and provide very significant revenue for the city, but it also offers substantial community benefits, including acres of public park space and a new riverwalk, as well as generating a host of new and improved avenues of infrastructure and transportation for the city so that all Chicagoans will benefit from this revitalization. On behalf of the 130-plus employees working for Bourbon Tile and Marble, we are in support of Sterling Bay and the Lincoln Yards development. We believe this project is a sensible solution for transforming neglected property into a vibrant riverfront community and an appealing community with desirable places to work, live, and play. Thank you.
My name is Thomas McElroy. I'm the principal and CEO of Level One Global Solutions here in Chicago. And the first statement that I would make before I begin my statement is something simple, a paraphrase from an old civil rights leader. Just like justice delayed is justice denied, jobs delayed are also jobs denied. Level One is a technology infrastructure consulting firm based here in Chicago. Our expert design, implementation, and management of large-scale integrated technology strategies, both public and private sector. We do the smart part of the smart business, and we are excited about a development in Lincoln Yards. This development will require more than 10,000 construction laborers. It will create more than 24,000 permanent jobs over the life of the project, ensuring endless opportunity for diversity and inclusion among a vibrant workforce. Many of these jobs will be in technology, since it is the foundation of what makes a facility run smoothly. When a developer imagines a new high-rise or a government agency plans for a new structure. This includes saving space for rooms, for servers, for technology, and other things. I am proud of my company's track record in recruiting young individuals that will assist in working on this project. And lastly, we are excited about being retained by Sterling Bay to do the technology infrastructure for this project, and we look forward to a yes vote, and we look forward to getting to work and for these jobs to actually materialize and not just be talked about. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is James Williams. I am here on behalf of Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives. We're a nonprofit organization based on the south side of Chicago. At CNI, we support inclusive economic development, authentic community engagement, high-impact real estate projects, and long-term partnerships that ensure more equitable communities. We believe every community in Chicago deserves quality schools, affordable housing, access to quality jobs, amenities, and resources. We are pleased that the developer has increased the number of on-site units at Lincoln Yards, and CNI supports the development of additional new off-site affordable units that will greatly benefit neighborhoods throughout the city that are significantly lacking new affordable housing options. Thank you for your time.
Okay, at this time we'll call up the next five in opposition.
The first three do not want to be to speak. They just want to be recorded as voting no.
The first three do not wish to speak. They would just like to be recorded as voting no. That is Julie Piecentine, Nathan Kay, and Chris Van Wassenhoff. The next five speakers, please. Randy Jacobson, Marianne Lalonde, Beatha Kay, Justin Major, and Lamont Burnett.
Randy Jacobson. The time for reform is now. There are good reasons why Amazon didn't choose Lincoln Yards. The master plan is the reason. It's a sterile, self-contained corporate campus, more like a suburban new town than a Chicago neighborhood. We thought we dodged a bullet when they lost, but now the Lincoln Park Pirates are still trying to Amazon Chicago. Today, apparently Lincoln Yards is 14,500,000 square feet. The TIF includes 18 million square feet, and there's room for another 5 million square feet in the North Branch TIF on Elston between Lincoln Yards and the new Metro station. Yet the traffic study submitted was calculated for 12,800,000 square feet. At full build-out, when 22 to 23 million square feet of redevelopable land on the intersect of redevelopment lands on the intersection of Elston and Cortland, gridlock will be the new normal. Alderman Gerrymander, unaccountable to the residents of the adjacent community, is thrilled with the idea of a new taxpayer-funded north-south bridge connecting Lincoln Yards North to Lincoln Yards South. He thinks a three-lane arterial highway running down the middle of this narrow site will solve all traffic problems. It can't. Dominick Street will run mostly from North to Webster. Streets already backed up well beyond their intersections with Dominick and Throop. Traffic originating in Lincoln Yards will make existing congestion at these choke points unbearable. Chicago is not the city in the garden. It's a garden in the city. Like the city and public park rendered in this drawing, the park is public. It's open. It connects the city and our neighborhoods to the river. It's a place where Jane Jacobs and Studs Terkel could have a drink. We can do better than towers in a park on parking podiums with one podium per block. Lincoln Parks should be an extension of the Chicago blocks with multiple buildings per block that can accommodate all types of housing and businesses. That is Schaumburg on steroids. It doesn't belong in this city. It's dead and sterile without the messy, crowded, vibrant pulse of the city. For years, corporate campuses tried to add amenities to keep workers happy. It was never enough. Workers and companies like McDonald's have been flocking back to the urban experiences in places like the West Loop. Sterling Bay has lost the thing that made them successful. Amazon already said, we don't want this, we should do the same. The political...
Thank you, sir.
Hello. My name is Marianne Lalonde, and I'm facing Zoning Committee Chairman James Kappelman in his upcoming runoff election. We want economic development to be done in a responsible way that serves the needs of all Chicagoans, not just developers and outside interests. Alderman Kappelman has accepted tens of thousands of dollars of donations from Rahm Emanuel in this election cycle, who has interest in advancing this project before the end of his term. And he regularly accepts donations from developers seeking zoning changes in our ward. He himself said, the community has not yet had a chance to see the finalized plan. Clearly, Alderman Hopkins needs to give the community a chance before it comes to zoning. The charade we witnessed at the beginning of today's meeting, where Alderman Kappelman used technicalities in Robert's rules to have the vote proceed despite his opposition, is the same cover that he uses in making zoning decisions in our ward. In a so-called democratic zoning process that is truly the illusion of democracy, he defers 100% to our 46-ward Zoning and Development Committee, a group that includes only three people of color in a ward known for its diversity, and 10% of this committee is represented by appointed positions, people he chose to represent himself. I'm asking Alderman Kappelman, stop throwing your hands in the air and deferring to others. Take responsibility for your actions. Because as acting chairman, you were responsible for setting the agenda of today's meeting. The compromise we see is minimal at best. While the number of on-site affordable units increased from 300 to 600, it can be increased further. And at 60% of the AMI, a subsidized studio apartment in this development will cost $890, a rent that is not affordable. It is unattainably high. As a member of a local park advisory council, I understand the potential a park has to unite a community across class and racial divides. Sterling Bay has not committed to making green space in their development a publicly owned park for the people. A vote to push forward this zoning change under these circumstances further shows James' disrespect for parks and the neglect he's shown to our community center at Clarendon Park, a park in our ward that was negatively impacted by a decision just like this one, where both a zoning change and TIF dollars were prematurely granted to a luxury developer. Alderman Kappelman, for 8 years, you have made zoning decisions that reflect the wants and needs of only a fraction of our ward and not the comprehensive population. I am asking you today, not only as your opponent, but as your constituent, do not subject the city of Chicago to the same decisions you have subjected the 46th Ward to throughout your tenure.
Hi, my name is Rita Kay. I am Vice President of Range Triangle. I'm also a parent of two public school children, and I sit on the LSC of one of those schools. And today, I want to recognize that Alderman Hopkins said he added language to the ordinance, the PD ordinance, that would allow for continued public engagement. I am happy to hear that, but I wanted to point out that Sterling Bay refused to meet with Ranch after the master plan was released in January. We reached out to them, and they never contacted us. So I hope that whatever community engagement is provided for in the ordinance will require them to actually engage with the community groups, not just the ones they want to. The other thing is I want to recognize in his testimony that Alderman Hopkins, noted a number of things that came out of the meetings. The community was concerned with transportation. Where's the traffic study that justifies that the improvements that are going to be made will actually work and work for not just the development, but the other 100 acres and the surrounding developments like their homes and what was Father and Son and another hotel and Triangle Square, all these mega developments, not including Webster Square that I think is wanting to upzone as well. We really, from Ranch's perspective, we only wanted to have an informed opinion on this project when we were asked to join in the community process. You know, we've asked for the traffic study that was released after the zone, the Plan Commission. And I don't know how Commissioner Reifman can say that it's been, reviewed when the master plan was released 5 days before the Plan Commission was going to hear. What kind of review would that provide? I can't believe that was a thorough review. And then I was hoping maybe that the commissioners could ask, this is just a personal question, to ask Sterling Bay's attorney to clarify her statement that the community process has begun, was 3 years long. They just began engaging with the community really, I think, in May of 2018. That's not a three-year process. So I'm not sure what 3 years is being referenced in her opening statement, but I'd love some clarification. And finally, just with regard to the Crane's editorial, they may have forgotten an article that was published in Crane's back in January where it said, City Hall corruption costs Chicago business. And it's a quote is from Beth Kroger, director of University of Chicago Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. A lot of folks don't want to play the game or feel they can't afford to play that game. We're losing out on growth and innovation in Chicago. Please consider the circumstances surrounding this whole process. Thank you.
Thank you. The next five speakers, they will be speaking in favor. Lisette Sanchez, Jody Fraley, Todd Stennis, Ira Hendon, James Pfeiffer, please step up to the microphone.
The time for reform is now.
What do we want? Reform. What do we want? Now.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisette Sanchez, and I am the founder, owner, and CEO of Bright Star Networks Corporation. We are a woman minority-owned business enterprise in IT consulting, facilities management, communications, and media-related services, management services, marketing service, computer hardware, and software services. As Chicago continues to do the great work of staying consistent in support of building a more vibrant city for all who live, work, and play here, it is an honor to support this community development of Lincoln Yards. This project does not belong in political debates to slow it down for the purpose of allowing another council to divert plans and funds. The Lincoln Yards project is about revitalizing dilapidated vacant land and public structures of the Chicago River. There is much needed improvement to roads, bridges, and the overall area where public funds will be used, as well as providing affordable housing to many residents. This vote today is about building standards and zoning. The present council and mayor have a proven track record to use over 80% of public funds for reigniting our economy here in Chicago. A slowdown will only halt our ability to generate revenue, jobs, and much needed improvements. It is this council's responsibility to pass the baton to the new council as mayor with the ability to manage $5 billion of annual revenue for Chicago's future needs. Lincoln Yards is about generating much-needed income for the city, businesses, and its residents. Without this revenue being generated, where do we really stand? We stand here today to talk about the issues. Votes resolve issues. Why leave what can be done today for tomorrow or a new council? The present council has proven competency to improve this city, its businesses, and its residents today. We are a city of big business. How can we say that if we halt the generation of $5 billion of annual revenue to improve the assets that already have been acquired? The old steel mill has an expired tag on it. The land must be reinvented to produce revenue for Chicago's future. Sterling Bay, a developer who has seen opportunity to help its home, generate income for home, create jobs at home, and is asking home to approve its mission, vision, and values for home. I am asking for the approval to bring Lincoln Yards home today. There, that is where it belongs, at home today. Please do not delay and deny justice to $5 billion of annual revenue, job creation, and revitalizing this city. This project is not about making history. It is about making a future for all who live, work, and play here. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jody Fraley. I'm an assistant director of field operations in the Chicagoland area for the Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa Foundation for Fair Contracting. We are a non-for-profit labor management organization established to support and promote fair labor practices in construction. Our organization is funded solely by contractors who are signatory to the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. Local 150 represents approximately 23,000 highly skilled and trained men and women in this area. Sterling Bay has committed to redevelop the vast parcel of underutilized land to benefit residents, local workers, businesses, and visitors. These improvements that they propose amount to an estimated 10,000 construction jobs over the next 10 years and 23,000 permanent jobs, all while adhering to the principles of diversity and inclusion to exceed MBE and WBE local labor hiring goals. We are very much in favor of this plan and look forward to watching their vision come to fruition. Thanks for your time.
Good afternoon. My name is James Pfeiffer. I'm the Vice President of Millhouse Engineering and Construction. I'm here on behalf of Millhouse in support of the Lincoln Yards development. More importantly, I'm here in support of development of our city with the use of local and minority businesses. Millhouse is the largest minority engineering firm headquartered in Chicago, and we have worked with Sterling Bay and look forward to working with them on the Lincoln Yards project. With the addition of thousands of construction and related support services jobs that include local minority businesses like Millhouse, we believe the development will have a positive impact not only on the Lincoln Yards community, but on Chicago as a whole. I am a native Chicagoan, and I believe we need to have neighborhoods and infrastructure that enhances our city and hiring practices within the city to create more opportunities for minority businesses. I want to thank you for your time, and I ask that you vote for Lincoln Yards.
Thank you. At this time, we are going to take a 10-minute break. I would ask that everybody be back in at 10 minutes after 2:00.